Hello and welcome to Source Sound. Today we're bringing you a series of community reports recorded at Leicester Riverside Festival 2026. Across Castle Gardens and the wider festival site, people came together to share stories, create art, explore local heritage, think about sustainability, and celebrate the many communities that make up our city. Our community reporter, Amelia Silva, spent the day speaking with artists, organisers, educators and volunteers to find out what was happening behind the stalls, exhibitions and activities that visitors were enjoying throughout the weekend. Over the next hour, you'll hear about creativity, environmental action, poetry, accessibility, community history and the simple value of bringing people together in shared public spaces. This is Leicester Riverside Festival 2026, as heard through the voices of the people who helped make it happen.
So this is Source Sound, and I'm here with Kate from Bright Sparks. Hi, Kate.
Hiya.
So I'm just going to ask you, why are you here today?
Okay, I'm freelance as an artist, and I'm here to run a workshop for Bright Sparks. So we're thinking about what makes people bloom, what they love, what makes them laugh, what makes them grow, and we're sowing flowers and decorating petals to build a big flower.
Okay, and what does Bright Sparks do?
A whole range of things. It's a charity for people suffering with ill mental health. To be honest, this is my first time working for them as a freelancer, so I can't tell you in great detail, but today they've got all sorts of things from like spoken word, poetry, they've got music happening, as well as artifacts from their Creative Health and Heritage Centre at the hospital.
Oh, that's amazing. And how has it been going today? Has it been popular?
Really good fun, yeah. What's been particularly nice is that there was like a great grandmother here with her children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, and all of them were joining in making stuff at the activity. So it's like been lovely to see families working together. And there was another mother and daughter that made a flower together.
Quite intergenerational.
Yeah, and like lots of people just chatting and laughing, and been prompting people to discuss while they're making, like what they love doing, what they're good at.
And have there been any surprises?
I'm always surprised at how amazing little kids are at sewing and how quickly they pick up skills. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And I suppose, is there anything else that you want to say?
It's a really fantastic, vibrant festival. Lots of people have been commenting when they're here just how much there is to do that's free in the city and like happening today. And just how much people love making stuff, and a lot of parents said they don't get time to make things but they love it, so they've really enjoyed the day, so that's been good.
That's lovely. Okay, I'm gonna... All right, this is Source Sound and I'm here with Imani Ohiro from Epitome Art. Hi Imani.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm feeling good. I'm enjoying all the colour that's around Leicester, and there's so many different things that you can dip into and to see, and everyone's really friendly and inviting, so it's very fun.
Amazing. And for those of you can't see Imani right now, they have the most amazing pink glittery makeup on, so imagine that in your head. So Imani, what are you doing here today?
I'm doing pop-up poetry with Literati, so we're doing poetry on the Newark Bridge, the Castle Garden Bridge and Kimberlin Library, and it's been really... Because I'm used to performing in like venues and stages, but it's interesting to be performing on the streets and creating space and not trying to get their attention, but starting performing and seeing who stays to see your poetry. Some people stay for a few lines, some people stay the whole time, but I think it's like exposure therapy to just be like, vibes, I've just got to keep going even when people are walking away, which has helped build my confidence, because I'm just like, it's not personal, they've got other places to be. So yeah.
What do you think is the importance of spreading poetry in the community?
I think spreading poetry in the community is important because with poetry I've been able to understand myself more and also find community of other poets by going to different poetry events like Word, like Literati, Get Mouthy, Semantics. There's so many different poetry spaces, and it's not a quick way, but you share something so personal, and it's like you the performer as well as the audience are trusting each other with what you're sharing with each other. That's why I think poetry is important.
Okay, that's fantastic. Lovely, I love that.
Thank you.
And have there been any surprises today?
Surprises? I think the surprises was the races. I wasn't expecting the races to be today. And then there was also an old fire truck. That was the surprise. And then someone was beeping it while performing, which I was like, gotta stay focused. But it was interesting to get to interact with those kind of environments. Those are surprises for me. What about you?
Was that happening whilst you were doing your poetry?
Yes.
Oh, so that's an interesting kind of way of
Interacting with the environment. Because usually in a venue, everyone's quiet, and if you talk, you're like, shh. But this one, everyone's in their element, talking, sounds going, and you just gotta keep going, or it not just bypass it, but sometimes choose to interact with it as well.
Yeah, so that must be like a creative challenge for you then.
Yeah, a little bit, but I got it. I think. But I've got two more performances to go, and we'll see how it goes, basically.
Okay, great. Well, I'll let you go then, and I hope the rest of your performances go really well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Imani.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Cool sounds, and I'm here with Jazz from Dromford University. Hi, Jazz.
Hi, Amelia. Excited to be here today.
Great. Why are you here today?
So I am a climate action officer at De Montfort University, and I work on a project called LEAF, which stands for Leicester Environmental Action and Future, and it is a 3-year long National Lottery community funded project which works with 5 project partners based in Leicester, and we've been at the festival throughout the weekend with a rotation of our partners running different activities, and the aim of the project is to really put the power of taking climate action and sustainability in people's hands. So the project partners we're working with all work with different communities in the city, and so they are running different activities. So today we have Saffron Acres, who are an environmental based organization who are helping people make salad in a cup so that they can grow their own salad at home. And then we have Leicester Nirvana Football Club, who are running different sustainability games. Yesterday we had Zamzam Unlimited Possibilities, who were creating a communal tapestry, and we also had One Reef Leicester, who were running sustainability games like Ecosystem Jenga and Sustainability Snakes and Ladders. And then we had Somali Development Services, who were doing traditional Somali weaving.
Okay, amazing. So there's a lot going on there. And how has it been today? Has it been busy?
Yeah, it's been great today. It's been really busy. The salad in a cup's been very popular. All of Leicester Nirvana's games have been really popular. We've had a constant queue for the games. And it's been really lovely to kind of talk to people about sustainability while they're doing these activities. They've been really popular, and it's been great just chatting to people about the project.
What do you feel is the importance of spreading awareness of climate?
I think it's important to spread awareness of the climate, but I think this project is really helping people take action, which is really important because obviously the climate crisis is one of like the major issues in the world at the moment, and it is exacerbated by so many other global issues. So taking that kind of anxiety which people might have, and that feeling of, you know, I'm just one person, what can I do, and being able to help them take action in their own life, I think is really important, and our community partners do a fantastic job in the communities which they work in of helping them do that.
Great. And have there been any surprises today?
Golden moments. Leicester Nirvana have done a leaderboard for LEAF staff, and I am currently losing at the games. But that's not really a surprise. It's been lovely people writing down their like goal for the world in a sustainable world. Like, what would we want it to look like? And writing things like circular fashion and shopping secondhand and like loving nature. So that's been a really lovely part of today.
Okay, amazing. And is there anything else that you would like to say?
Just that, yeah, it's been a really lovely weekend. It's been amazing chatting to everyone, and everyone's been really enthusiastic. And yeah, we can't wait to do more events like this and chat to more people in Leicester. And I just think LEAF is a really exciting project for people in Leicester. So.
Brilliant, thank you so much, Dad.
Gosh,
you're listening to Sore Sound Community Reports from Leicester's Riverside Festival 2026. So far, we've heard how creativity can bring generations together, how poetry creates opportunities for connection and self-expression, and how local organisations are encouraging people to think differently about sustainability, well-being and community participation. One of the striking themes running through these conversations is the way that festivals create opportunities for people to meet, share experiences, and discover new ideas, whether through art, environmental projects, heritage activities, or creative workshops. Many of the people we've spoken with have described the importance of making space for conversation and participation. Let's return to our reporter, Amelia Silva, for more voices from the Riverside Festival.
This is Sore Sound, and I'm here with Rebecca from Mission Magpie. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
So first of all, can you tell us a little bit about Mission Magpie?
So Mission Magpie is a crazy idea where we're trying to just stop things from going to landfill. So people bring us donations, or businesses give us things, or it could be like factory ends of lines. And then we use those things to make fun art displays and things that people can interact and engage with. And the rest of it goes into the shop, and we try to keep prices so that people can definitely afford whatever it is. We, inside the hub, we have a free section so people can come and just take things. We have a hub at Haymarket Shopping Centre.
Okay, and are you there every day or just at the weekend?
We are there Wednesday afternoon, Friday afternoon and Saturdays. And then at things like Riverside and other festivals like Pride, we often have a stall.
Okay, great. And how has it been going this weekend?
It's been going really, really well. Yesterday was quite wet, but the atmosphere was fantastic still, and it's still been really busy. Today, the sun is out, and we've got nice music, and everyone seems to be having a good time.
Okay, wonderful. And can you tell me, what do you feel is the importance of stopping things going to landfill?
Well, there's different aspects to it, really. First of all, we need to be able to reduce our landfill content, but also because a lot of times people want to be able to do the right thing if they want to get rid of something, but it's just difficult to know what to do. So, for instance, parents, we always have loads and loads of toys that the kids have got. They might have lost bits and bobs. They can't give that to charity because the charity won't have it if it's got incomplete parts. But what I do is I take all the parts, I reduce down what is there, and I use the different bits for different things. So, for instance, there's some bowls over there that have got tiny little figures in that may have come from things like board games. So it doesn't matter if it's incomplete. So if you give people an easy way to be able to donate and stop stuff from going to landfill, then they'll take that option.
Oh, great. And have there been any surprises or any golden moments this week?
Oh, lots and lots of golden moments. We always do. Just behind you, children are putting pennies in this thing that we've created and making a wish. I mean, that in itself is great. Also, we've had lots of people. Oh, I tell you, actually, we had a great moment yesterday. Three children came and spent a long time choosing a present for one of their mums whose birthday was next week. And they ended up making something and putting it together, and they were absolutely adorable. We had a disabled gentleman in a wheelchair who's put his head through the display. We all held him so he could lean forward and do that. It's fantastic. We've had lots of dogs in the displays having photographs. So yeah, there's always really happy moments here.
Okay, amazing. And is there anything else that you would like to say to Sore Sound listeners?
Well, one of the things we've got going on here today is we're helping create part of what will become a whale, which will be going to the Cosby Yarn Bomb in July. So people can come and see us there. And one of our displays is going to be under the sea. And throughout the summer, we're going to be having lots of free activities on at the Haymarket, so you can come along. Doesn't matter what age you are, there'll be something to do.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you so much.
Lovely. See you soon. Bye.
Bye. Okay, this is Soul Sound, and I'm here with Natalie from Lesson College. Hi, Natalie.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. So can you tell me what you're doing here, please?
Yeah, so Leicester College art students are working with a charity called Bright Sparks, and they introduced us to a theme called What Makes You Bloom. So our students took that theme, our Level 3 Year 1 art students, and they worked with it in a number of ways. So you've got the textiles in here in the area, and then we've got the artwork on display all of the way through Castle Gardens. And then some of our students have been volunteering today with Bright Sparks as well. So Emma, who's a body artist, she's been working with Bright Sparks, and she's been teaching some of our students how to create body art as well. So they've been doing face painting, and also they've been volunteering with the community as well today.
Great. And how has it been going this weekend?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, really busy both days, and we've been doing some pebble art and some crafting and painting, doing the community board and getting students to get the public to think about what makes you bloom as well. So we've had people that talk about dancing and gymnastics and music. It's been beautiful. It's been great.
And have there been any kind of surprises or golden moments?
Yeah, I think just the way our students have just worked with the public, and they've just really built their confidence. They really wanted to do face painting. Lots of children have come up and asked them about their faces, but they've not been able to do it this year. So they said they'd like to come back next year and do it.
Oh, brilliant!
Yeah.
And in what way do you think Riverside Festival helps you to kind of get the message out about Bright Sparks and what you do?
Yeah, I just think it really kind of connects with all different types of our community in Leicester. We've had all sorts of different age groups, different cultures. Lots of people are interested in different things, and I think it's just connecting with what we do at the college and what Bright Sparks do as well.
Okay, great. And is there anything else that you would like to say to Soul Sound listeners?
Yeah, I just think the Riverside is just a fantastic for Leicester to celebrate, because it's a lot of it is free. It's just a way to bring everyone together in these beautiful spaces as well. Castle Gardens looks amazing today. So I just think it's one of the really kind of key things about bringing Leicester together.
Great, thank you so much.
That's
Natalie.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is Soul Sound, and I'm here with Sim from Colour Arts supporting Graphwork. Hi, Sim.
Hello, how are you doing, Amelia?
Good, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, great, so can you tell me about what you're doing here at Riverside Festival?
So, Colour Arts is supporting Graphworks, and we're adding a little bit of sustainability to the festival. The cans that we've brought along are all cans that street artists have used to do all the graffiti in the city. And instead of them going in the bin today, we are combining a bit of creativity and giving community members the chance to add their flair and take the can home.
Okay, great. And how has it been going this weekend?
It has been so busy. It's been really, really lovely to kind of see intergenerationally families coming and actually making a bit of art on a can that actually you wouldn't normally get to do. So it's got that unique appeal and some wonderful things being made. So really pleased.
And have there been any surprises or golden moments this weekend?
Do you know what? They've all been golden moments. The number of people that have just had that initial intrigue and then taken a moment out of their day to just feel present and be creative. For me, it's when the parents kind of get that confidence to be able to kind of go, oh, I'm going to have a go too. And creating together is creating a core moment. So.
And what do you feel is the importance of upcycling things instead of putting them in the bin?
Do you know what? We are running out of resources. We are running out of solutions. And if we could apply a bit of creativity to our approach, our relationship with the things that we buy, we could prevent so many things from going into landfill. So it's a big thing that I think we all need to be responsible for.
Okay. And how do you feel having a presence at Riverside Festival has helped you kind of reach the community, reach more people?
Oh, I absolutely love it. So this is the third year that I've been involved with Riverside in different capacities, and it's been wonderful connecting with community, giving community an opportunity to find out what else is going on in the city and just connect and share the joy. So love Riverside, cannot wait for next year.
Great. And is there anything else that you would like to say to Soul Sound listeners today?
Just keep listening, keep being connected, and hopefully we'll see you at a festival or an event soon.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Sim.
Thank you.
This is Soul Sound, and I'm here with Tara from Opal 22. Hi, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So can you tell me what you're doing here at Riverside Festival today, please?
Okay, so we've been commissioned by the library to produce an exhibition. It's a outdoor installation exhibition where people can interact with us. So we're looking at the Windrush community. It's all about Windrush this year. And what we've tried to do here, being Riverside Festival, being having a lot of children around here, we're taking it and trying to add another level to those conversations that we have around Windrush. Now, we always think about Windrush, but we think about those people who they are now in their 60s, their 70s and older. But with the relation that when you think about it, a lot of those people came here when they were very young. And some of them came over as what were called the barrel children, which meant that they were the ones that was left in the Caribbean when their parents came to England. And they wasn't brought over until a good few years later, could be 5, could be 10 years later. By that time, they had new siblings that were here already. So they were coming over not only to a new country, to parents they hadn't seen for a long time, siblings they hadn't even known that were alive, and just a totally different circumstance, that leaving everything that they felt. So what we've asked people to do is leave a little message that if you were that child, how would you feel about taking that 6-week journey on a plane, on a boat, sorry? You know, what would have been going through your head? And really kind of tell us a little bit, which we'll go into in a bigger documentary that's being presented later on.
Okay, great. And how has it been going this weekend?
Do you know what? It's the interaction that we've had with the audience that's here has been absolutely outstanding. People have really got it, really understood it. And I think they've appreciated having a different narrative when we're talking about the Windrush. So I think that's been really, really positive. On the other side, on the negative, the weather has been a nightmare. And half of our exhibition has actually been damaged and broken while we've been here. We're just fighting with the elements. You know, yesterday it was the rain and the wind. Today the wind's twice as bad as it was yesterday. I'm just moaning now, so I will stop. But yeah, it's, you know, we'll be pleased to get home. I think we've done what we needed to. It looked beautiful at the very beginning, and the audience have really appreciated it.
That's great. And have there been any sort of golden moments? What has been your highlight of the festival?
Well, there was a gentleman that came in yesterday, and he was actually one of the people that came over as a very young child. And he actually told us his first-hand information, and saying that he actually, even when he was in, he come from Jamaica, he was taught more about British history than he was about Jamaican history. So he was told more, he knew more about England, Wales, Scotland, and those kinds of places. And that was kind of really thought-provoking. And then there was another lady later on that said that she'd, speaking to her mum, she felt quite surprised that people were shocked about the way they were treated when they came into the UK, and they'd come from Barbados. And she was saying,
I see what you mean about the elements.
That,
oh my gosh,
yeah, it's been so much fun. Just to give you some context, 2 of our boards just fell over.
Sorry, what were you saying about the lady from Barbados?
Yeah, she was saying that even in Barbados there was places that her parents were not allowed to go. They were only designated for white Europeans. So she was quite shocked that they were so shocked at how they were treated when they got into this country. And it was an element that I hadn't actually thought about. You know, I very rarely, being my research is Black British history, I very rarely think about what was already going on in the Caribbean, even knowing that when I went over, you know, I was first out there, gosh, in my late teens. And because of how light I am, the treatment I received back then was very different to the treatment that my cousins and whoever I was with had. And, you know, you knew when you went into a bank, the front tellers looked like me. They were paler skin. I missed that context, so I want to kind of get into that a little bit deeper. I do a lot around colourism, which we did with the caster paintings, and it's just an extra layer. And that's what I say, I think everything is like, when we do these stories, it's like peeling away an onion. There's always something that maybe I've missed, maybe I didn't think about, that I can then recruit, you know, kind of go back to and retrieve at a later date.
Yeah, And what do you feel is the importance of being able to capture these stories from people in person and then also being able to share them?
I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what we do it for, because otherwise, you know, I not to get too political, but what we're going through right now and people's thought processes of how they think about migration and all is all about education. It's all about, you know, when we teach in history in schools, we have to teach the whole history. And that's why I say with Black history, there is no British history without Black history. That it just doesn't happen. Britain has gone all over the world. So we have to look at it in its entirety and not just pick out the bits that suit us. And, you know, telling British people that everything came from white British people is so incorrect and causes diversion.
And just lastly, is there anything else that you would like to say to Soar Sound listeners?
Yep. Windrush Festival, High Tea on the Park, 20th of June. Come down, a big family event. We've got Sandra and Sel coming over from Gogglebox. We've got Annette Fagan, who was on the One Extra Comedy Tour. We've got live bands, food, the Caribbean High Tea. If you want to book on that, please book on early because it's getting sold out like massively right now. And that's a twist on the British High Tea with Caribbean flavour. So if you like a bit of rum cake or I think we've got coconut cake and maybe carrot cake. There's all kinds of things. You get some jerk chicken, you get some rum punch. That's all within the high tea, but you don't have to have that. If you just want to come down, enjoy the day, there's a kids' corner, there's other foods that you can have. You've got the live band, live whole stage show throughout the day, and it's just fun. And hopefully the weather is not like this.
Yeah, we never know. All right, thank you so much, Tara.
All right, thank you.
So this is Soar Sound, and I'm here with Simon from Handbeam, who is a digital artist speaking through a female sign language interpreter today. Hello, Simon, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's a beautiful day today.
It is, isn't it? So could you tell me what you are doing here as part of Riverside Festival, please?
Okay, so Handbeam team wanted me to come and show the cinema that I've been doing called Bloom. So it's linked with the surroundings that we're in. We're, you know, in a Castle Gardens, we're looking about flowers blooming and saving waste and looking at resources about recycling clothes, etc. So I thought, why not show that through British Sign Language that's linked to flowers and blooming, growing items.
Excellent. And what has been the best thing about Riverside Festival for you?
So I think it's good to see a lot of hearing people starting to mix with disabled people and accepting who we are. They're showing that they're friendly faces, and you know, it's been a very enjoyable experience.
Wonderful. And what do you feel is the importance of kind of sharing your art with the community, with the world?
Definitely. It's important because sometimes the parents will bring their children into my cinema tent. It's a blackout tent, so you can see what my work is through the projector. So when you see the parents looking, they start to talk to their children in a different way using the sign language. So they're just widening how they communicate with one another. So my art is an expression to them.
Wonderful. And have there been any sort of golden moments for you this weekend? Or any interactions that you've seen that have just made you really happy?
Yes, yeah. It's definitely been worthwhile coming because if someone's got skills like I have and they don't come and showcase their work, I mean, the only one really in the UK that's doing what I'm doing as a digital creator with sign language to try and promote that, to open people's eyes to see another way of art with sign language. So I've been showing, so using sort of mannequins. So people will be watching this video with no sound, showing the mannequin sort of acting, and the other mannequin will be a person on, say, for example, if we were to sign flower on one mannequin, the other mannequin would have a flower growing from its hand. So it's a visual 3D, so you can link the two together. So you can see the two mannequins working together side by side. So people can watch what the sign is and watch what the meaning is side by side.
And could you please tell us a little bit more about Hanbin?
So before Hanbin was involved in another project called the Share Project, and that was a more open project, very varied, with a lot of disabled artists. So we realised from that Leicester City Council was organising another festival. So we're trying to find artists to come and take part in that, and also to make it an inclusive experience. So we set up Hanbin to try and find and showcase those disabled people and the different artists. So it's like looking at our page, you can see what our disabled artists are available, and then you can contact Hanbin for an artist to come and join you at the festival.
Brilliant, I didn't know that. And just lastly, is there anything else that you would like to say to Source Sound listeners?
So I'm self-employed. I'm more of a freelance artist. So I've got work under another company in London called Deaf Rave. So I've done that since 2003, and that is more DJing. So I can't hear the music because I'm profoundly deaf. So what I do is I look at the visuals. So my job is called a VJ. It's a visual aid rather than a DJ. So that's linked to the person that's going to be on the stage. So I would be behind the screen and doing all the digital artwork in the background that would link to the vibrations and the feeling and the emotion of the music. And my aim is to help deaf people understand music better and to interpret music better. So a wave, like in a wave form. So that's linked to when you have audiology, you've got you've got the audiology waves. So when you've got the music and it starts, I will create a picture and that starts to move in time with the music. So if you've got a hearing person who is dancing at night in a nightclub and the music was to change, the hearing person would know how to start dancing to that music because they can hear it. But with a deaf person, it's slightly behind because you've got a time lag. So sometimes it can be a bit too slow. So deaf people can still be dancing to the music and not realising there's been a change. But with the background pictures, the VJ, you can see that the music has changed because you can see the pattern, and then you can change your rhythm of dancing in line with that.
Okay, brilliant. Is that everything?
I think there's so much to say.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
No problem.
You've been listening to a collection of community reports from the Leicester Riverside Festival 2026. Throughout the programme, we've heard from artists, educators, community organisations, environmental groups, heritage practitioners, and accessibility advocates. Although their activities are very different, a common thread connects them all, creating opportunities for people to participate, learn from one another, and feel part of something larger than themselves. From poetry, performance, and community art, to environmental action, Windrush heritage, recycling initiatives, and inclusive creative practice, The festival demonstrated how public events can bring together a wide range of experiences and perspectives. Our thanks to everyone who spoke with Saw Sound and to community reporter Amelia Silver for gathering these conversations. From all of us at Saw Sound, thank you for listening.